your mobile. Name here is Tom.
Tom, how are you today? Name here is Mike, in Campobello, South Carolina.
Good morning, yet. I guess it's 11:45, Mike, and nice to meet you. We're out here on Highway 14, just passing Blue Ridge Feed and Seed, going down to mail a letter. Went up and paid the water bill, and just not too exciting a day today. In the next couple of days, we're going to get some new chickens, though, so that'll add some excitement to the day. How you doing? This is N0TR.
Just slept in, couldn't sleep last night, so I'm still drinking coffee and trying to wake up. My next-door neighbor's got chickens, and they just kind of roam the neighborhood, and it's kind of fun watching them. But no chickens of my own.
We got a great signal over here. No problem at all. Full quieting. Oh, we've had a little trouble lately. There was a Brittany Spaniel trying to kill the chickens the other night and the other evening. And last night, we had a large cat trying to kill the chickens. And, I dispersed the crowd with an M80 out the window. And I hope they learned a lesson.
Fun to watch them scatter when the M80 went off. That would have been kind of cool. Yeah, don't have a lot of, a lot of issues here with critters trying to kill chickens. I think the cars are the worst thing.
Let ours free range because of the hawks and the owls. They would get them. But, I call them M80s. They're not, by far. We're originally from Kansas, and my wife, Bernice, is with me here 52 years. And we had the real thing up there, but they're more of a firecracker down here than a bomb. I shouldn't say that word over the radio.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I lived in Alabama and New Orleans for a time. My father had been transferred around, and I remember we used to use M80s to level fire anthills. That was good. But I'm originally from the Detroit area and moved down here to South Carolina about 15 years ago. And love it. Love the weather. Bought a house here in Campobello, and that's only been a couple of months ago, and I'm still fooling around with antennas trying to get stuff up.
W2T Mobile.
Acknowledging W2T Rusty. Well, Mike, and we're talking to Mike here, Rusty. Our daughter and son-in-law and granddaughter, one of them, lives in West Bloomfield, so I'm sure you're probably familiar with that. And she's a professional musician and in the Michigan Philharmonic, and her husband's an engineer up there at a car manufacturing place. They make foam for your car seats, put it that way. What's the name of that place? Woodbridge, isn't it? Yeah, the company called Woodbridge. And we moved here 62 years ago from Kansas, and it's a good place to be, I'll tell you that. Go ahead, Mike, you take it, and W2T's in there now, Rusty.
Rusty had a shot at it. This is WSAD. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, good morning, Mike, and welcome to the area and all. So you live up in Campobello. I live down near, I live near Roebuck. My address is Moore. So anyway, I'm down here near Spartanburg. And $140, new battery installed, no extra fees or taxes there, Tom, after my discount for military discount at Batteries Plus. Better deal than I could get anywhere else. How about that for a battery in there this morning?
That's about the going price, and I'm not surprised as old as that battery was that you had in there. You really got good service out of it, but when you said they charged it, surface charge. I've seen that happen too much. Used to take care of the batteries on the man lifts and forklifts and motorized pallets and stuff, and so I got a pretty good background with them, so I didn't think you'd last very long. Anyways, that's about the going price nowadays. It's ridiculous, but that's what it is. And I think a lot of it's due to the fact that lead is so precious now that it has to come from, I think, China, and no longer any smelters in the United States. But they do last. I can't complain. I think mine was in that area, 140 to 150 for my Avalon and the truck. But they usually last about 6 years, is going. Go ahead, Mike. This is N0TR.
CRWS8D. Yeah, I've not had great luck with batteries. If I get 3 years out of them, I've done good. But it is kind of funny that lead is such a commodity. I mean, you used to have this stuff everywhere. And, of course, now it's a deadly thing to handle. Well, maybe.
Charge you extra for a battery when you get rid of it, but and also anyway. Now that was the best price. I called Advance Auto Parts, and their price was $165, and they wanted $35 to install it, Tom, because it's a difficult installation. The guy at Batteries Plus over here took one look at it and said no problem. And it took him about 10 minutes, took him longer just about to get things out of the way and put back in place than it did for him to actually change the battery out. So, anyway, and yeah, lead is dangerous. You shouldn't be handling everything like that. So, you know, you watch what you do with it and dispose of batteries properly, as they say. Oh, now I'm going to go grab me a quick bite of lunch and then head back to the house and get to work on that website I got to get on. But that's another story. Go ahead, Tom. W2T Mobile.
Yeah, it is. It's a dangerous element. I'd have been dead many, many years ago, I guess, or should have, I guess. I don't know which one. I've poured thousands and thousands of bullets, and I was around where they made lead Babbitt bearings for 32 years, and you took precautions, but not as much as they should have by any means. But it's still hard to beat in certain applications. And I like the batteries that you can put water in yourself. And a lot of them's maintenance-free nowadays. But being an old maintenance man, I check them about every 3 to 6 months. And I put distilled water in them, like you're supposed to. And I get a good life out of them, so I think that's one thing that keeps them in good shape. And I clean the terminals if they look like they're getting dirty, you know, with a little soda. And they are expensive. Sound like you got the best deal, though, by far. I know you said that was a very very difficult replacement on that thing. That Dodge, I think it was a Stratus that my daughter had one time. It had the battery in the left lower wheel well of the car. You know, wow, that's a dumb place to put a battery. Go ahead, Mike.
What kind of cracks me up, you know, when I was younger, I played with lead for one thing or another, and mercury and asbestos, and I'm still alive. I don't know how that happened.
We all did that as kids, at least those of us my age anyway, mine and Tom's age. I don't know how old you are, Mike, but you don't sound like you're quite as old as the other two of us here. But, yeah, I called and called around to several places about the batteries. And on top of that, they gave me a military discount on that battery, so that saved me, you know, $14 right there, which covered most of the taxes on the battery and everything, so that made life a little bit easier there, Tom. And that battery, when we took it out, that battery had been in this car since it was built. It was the original AC Delco battery installed. We could tell that from the fact that the where everything was hooked up had never been broken loose. So that was the original battery. So that's the 2011 car, and this is 2021. That means that's 10 years of battery life. I'd say I came out pretty good on the end of that. Wouldn't you think so, Tom? W2D Mobile.
This is Enzer OTR with the man on the mountain, and I'm sticking my letters in to pay bills here. And get me a new sticker for my tags for the Tacoma. Well, we are getting ready to head back. Yeah, that's an extremely long time for a battery to last. I had a one-year battery last 6 or 7 years one time, and it was from J.C. Penney's, and it was on an old 53 Chevy truck, and it was 6 volt. And when I had the guy replace it, I said, "Is there any warranty left on that?" And I was just kidding, of course, but I kept a straight face. Well, no, he said, "This battery's a one-year battery, and it's 6 years old." And I said, "Yeah, you can't get anything worth a darn anymore." And go ahead, Mike.
I don't know how old you guys are, but I'm going to be 66 here in about a month, and just retired, was working for this company for 20 years, and the COVID-19 thing killed the company, so I'm out on my butt, so I just applied for retirement benefits, and just kind of making it from day to day. There was somewhere I was going to go with that, but anyway, I'm going to go grab some more coffee. And I'll be back shortly. WS8D.
All right, before you go, I'm 73. I think I'm about to be 74, so I'm probably the oldest of the three of us. But because Tom's not quite there yet. Anyway, I'm pulling in here. I'm going to go into the Tokyo Grill Express and have me something good for lunch. Talk to you later, Tom. N0TR to take it. W2T. 73s.
Okay, Rusty. Well, I'm glad you got that fixed. That's something you just can't afford to gamble with. You have all kinds of complications if you break down in the wrong place in this world nowadays. Anyways, talk to you later. And Mike, I'll be out here for a little while longer, and I'm 73. This is Enzer OTR, mobile.
Me to be the young one. WSAT, I'll be back.
It's still morning in 4DJC.
10 and 39 seconds.
How you doing today?
Well, you just got under the line there, Jerry. This is N0TR. Aldi's and Greer on Wade Hampton. I'm headed back towards the QTH. And been talking to WS8 Delta Mike over Tampa Bella and Rusty. And enjoying it. Sounds like he's got some exotic birds in the background. And pretty to hear. And my dad took care of a parrot when I was a little boy. That brings back memories. And he did it for Clarence Abercrombie. And he also worked on the railroad. And had to go to the oil fields. He was laid off, and I'd ride around the block with that parrot on my shoulder. And I think the only thing that parrot knew was hello, and the other saying was not acceptable here, but it was go to you know where. So I had to be careful where I stopped at.
You felt like a pirate with that parrot sitting on you, I guess. I had a friend of mine that had one of the African greys, and that thing had a bunch of phrases it would say. But it was kind of annoying because it would mimic, like a regular, this has been years ago, it would mimic a phone ringing. And you couldn't tell whether it was, you couldn't tell the difference between the parrot and the phone. It was crazy. I think they finally had to change their phone to something else because the parrot would start sound like a regular bell telephone ringing, and they'd try to answer the phone. Of course, there's nobody there, and the parrot had to. I think that parrot probably had about 50 or 60 phrases it could it would pop off. But you know, those things live, they live 75, 80 years, and so a lot of times they outlive the owners.
Yeah, I can see where they would. Oh, it's beautiful. The sun's coming out, Jerry, and the mountains are just gorgeous here just north of us. As you come off the hill at Taylor's Orchard, and I don't know which mountain's which. The guys like Steve and that, they know all the different mountains. I don't. We don't. All I know is they're pretty. Used to be a peach orchard here alongside of us, but they sold the orchard and they just kept the part that's out on Highway 14 and shut this one down and dug up all the trees. Wouldn't surprise me not to build houses in here. They're building them everywhere else.
How long those peach orchards produce, you know, they have to, they don't like pecans or anything like that. They don't live, I mean, they outlive their years and production years a lot faster than like a pecan tree does. But, yeah, I've seen them, you know, where they've rotated them out, put something else in them, but tell you what, with the weather the way it is, has been the last several years, probably the peach orchard, you know, especially across 85, is probably not the, probably pretty difficult to make a living off of them.
Boy, they really have a great business here. And then they ship a lot, too. People ask me what I like about South Carolina, and I always tell them, well, number one's the people, and number two's the peaches. Number three's the mountains and the scenery and the airplanes, and having a nice airport here. Just the area in general. But those peaches rank way up high for me.
We didn't have any peach trees, but we had friends that did usually. And the Georgia Bell ones we liked, those were the earlier ones that would come out and produce, and they were really good. They were usually grown a little further south, like from right below Macon, I think, in Georgia. That's more where we were living then. They would grow a little bit faster, but you get a crop a little earlier with those. But I got a guy that I know real well that lives up around Clemson. He was an agricultural guy at Auburn and worked for the Georgia Extension Service for years. And he's got about 100 pecan trees. He probably did mid-70s, maybe more than that now. But he used to have a lot. I mean, he would produce a lot of pecans. I mean, the slides and the Stewarts, you know, the slides of the that's the paper holes and the Stewarts, and that was a miniature Stewart too, but he said that didn't produce that well. But to do a pecan grove right, you really have to spend a lot of time, a lot of money on spraying them and fertilizing them and doing all kinds of things. He stayed busy all the time. And he didn't have one, but he had to rent one of those shakers. Yeah, he'd lay something down around the trees, like some tarpaulin or something below the trees, and they'd get that shaker out, and they'd just shake the, you know, wood out of them. That's how they got the pecans down.
In Wilkerson, back home, had a pecan farm that his dad left him out by the Neosho River. And he would graft pecans to make a different breeds and stuff. It was amazing what that guy did with them. Unfortunately, he passed away here a while back at a young age. And, boy, them was huge paper shell pecans. They were delicious. And a friend of mine, K9 JDP, gave me some one year. And Bernice makes wonderful pecan rolls and bakes all the time. So we use them a lot. This year, it's the first year in 3 years, that this pecan grove over by our relation or on Gap Creek produced. And my son-in-law's mom went over there and picked us several pails of them. I still got some to crack. And as Bernice needs them, I crack them. And they're delicious. Boy, the pecans down here are great. And but I think it takes about 20 years for a tree to grow up, don't it, before they start barren. SN0TR.
kinds of species. I know a lot of them, a lot of them start producing a little earlier than that, but the pecans don't fill out as well as they should. And it takes a lot of fertilizer and a lot of care to get them to produce right. And you'll see some, especially some of the newer groves that have been planted in the last 25 years. You know, the trees will be a little bit closer together than they were years past, and they're just cycling them on out. But I like eating them, and we had five in our yard at one time, and we used to get about five, six garbage cans full of pecans. Well, in a good year. But I imagine it takes 12 to 15 before they start producing anything worth harvesting. But they don't like the real big trees because they can't shake them like they can the little trees. I think that's just a function of being able to sell them a little, produce more and sell them a little faster.
Well, Kenny had a shaker, and then his wife would stand there beside him, and she would shoot the big fox squirrels, and they'd eat the squirrels, too. they had the best of both worlds. Well, Jerry, we're within a couple of blocks of home here, so I'll go ahead and sign off. And it's beautiful, partly cloudy sky, and hope you have a good day. Maybe I'll catch you down the line later, and Mike should be back with his coffee, and he was enjoyable to talk to. And he's retired like us, and have fun. 73, Jerry. This is NZ2R, clear on your final.
Tom, I got to run downstairs. We got some chicken pot pie cooking in the oven. Hopefully, it'll be ready in a few minutes. The sun's starting to come out a little bit here. Still cloudy though, but it's been a minute. Maybe it's going to turn out to be another nice day. But talk to you a little bit later on, Tom. NZ2R M4DJC.
Geezer. For you, NZ2R N4OVQ.
I was just getting ready to shut the car off. Oh boy. You caught me off guard here, and I lost your name. It's been so long, Stacy, since I talked to you. I didn't even recognize your voice there, Stacy. This is NZ2R.
I knew I would catch you that way. I hope you're doing okay, you and the missus, and staying safe and all that good kind of stuff. We're doing the same here, me and Deb. We're still the same old whale.
But, Stacy, I wasn't going to answer because you didn't throw a call sign out there, and I didn't recognize the voice, which I'm guilty of that, too. Yeah, we just got home from going up and paying the water bill and going down the mail letter. Just wanted to get out because we just don't get out unless it's an absolute necessity, and then we practice all of the antiseptic procedures that you're supposed to. Bernice gets her shot March 25th, or excuse me, February 25th, and I get mine March the 10th, 12th, as she says. And then we'll be a little better off, I think, Stacy.
A good deal. Yeah, I hope it works out, and we all, we need some relief. I mean, we need some numbers to start going the other way. This thing is really, it's a messed up world. I mean, that's all you can say. And we're in a mess. So, with everything else that's going on, but I guess I was just thinking, when I wake up in the mornings, I'm happy. and somebody said, well, how in the world can you be happy? Well, I'm alive. So far, so, I guess you just make the best out of it, and, I hadn't heard Bob in a while. Have you talked with him?
Let me shut this thing off. The best time to catch Bob, it seems like, when he's on his way home from work, like at, between 2 and 4 o'clock in the afternoon, he'll come on 610 and ID, Stacy, but, I've heard him quite a little bit here lately. actually, and he's doing fine, and his wife and boy's doing fine, and he's contract working, I think mostly bathrooms, and him and another guy up there.
Good deal. Well, yeah, I've done the bathroom stuff. That's what I did for a living. I did plumbing work. In other words, he's probably doing the whole shebang, but I hadn't talked to him in a while. I'll try to list him out for him, and I like to kind of keep shape every once in a while, and, you know, I have the radio on all the time just about it, but I don't always have it turned up, so, you know how it goes. Anyway, I do a lot of digital, a lot of FT4, FT8, not a big talker on HF anymore. Matter of fact, I even got rid of my 811H. Where I live now, I couldn't use it. I didn't want to create problems. I live in an apartment, so never used it. Had it hooked up, but anyway, I let it go. So, and I found I do just as well. So I'm happy with that. Over.
Now, that RF likes to get into AC wiring in a house if it's close, so that's probably the best thing, and you don't have to use any power at all, hardly, on those digital modes. So I think that was probably a justified decision, and next time you just buy you one of them solid-state ones, and you'll be a lot better off. A little less money in your pocket, but to jingle around. Oh, shoot. Well, Stacy, good to hear you doing fine, and I'll pass the word on to Bob if I hear him, and turn the radio up more often. We need to get out of the car here and get inside, and good to hear you, my friend. And, I hope things get back to more normal, and I won't say any more, but our esteemed new president eliminated 11,000 jobs with the stroke of the pen on his first day in office up there on that pipeline to make us a whole lot less energy efficient. And he's trying to shut down all the coal mines and the oil places now. I'll tell you, if either side up there did something intelligent, it'd be out of character. It's disgusting. I'm glad I'm retired. See you later, Stacy. 73s, and I'll be clearing QRT. This is Enzero TR.
Good to hear you, and Bernice, hello to you. I don't understand that. That just, I don't get it. What's the gas prices? So, I mean, you know, what's up? I just don't get that. But anyway, so much for all that kind of stuff. Anyway, y'all have a good day, and I'll try to catch you more often. So y'all be good, and I'll talk to you later. N0TR in 4OVQ. I'll be clear and just listen. 4UVV, I seem like what I heard, a lot of static in there, N4OVQ.
Good afternoon, KN4UVV here. KN4UVV, I'm located in Comer, Georgia. The name here is Jim, Julia, then Jim Mike. Good afternoon.
Dale, well, you was better that time, and so, all right, I thought we're... And what part, where'd you say you was?
3 miles east of Athens, Georgia. A little town called Comer, Georgia. It's between Athens and Everton on Highway 72.
Good deal. Well, you're doing a good job. I'm up in Anderson. And matter of fact, I was down towards Everton here a couple of weeks ago just riding around since it's COVID. Me and my girlfriend jumped in the car and we ride. I done been around through all three states, and I'm at home today because I can't find no new places to go to without going out of town to stay overnight. So, you know, we've had awesome trips, you know, one-day trips, and I just can't find anywhere else without planning an overnight thing, and we're not ready for that. Over.
The purposes. So, did you bring your call sign back? I appreciate it.
10-4 OVQ, November 4, Oscar Victor, Quebec.
Friend, glad to make your acquaintance. And I'm assuming this is a repeater somewhere close to Anniston.
Here is, I think this repeater is on Cedar's Head. And I could be wrong about that. I got it to Greenville, I know, but I think it's on Cedar's Head, open.
Well, good deal. Hey, you're making a good trip into it. It's awful quiet, and I got you probably about 5 bars on this old icon here. But nothing's happening over here in Comer. Let me tell you, Comer's a dead city. We got one red light, 5 cops. We don't need any of them.
Well, you pulled quite in on me. You all the way on the scale, so that's good. And but this has got a good footprint on it. It always has that I can remember. And I've been doing this since 1985, I think. I don't do it quite often as I should. And I do more HF than I do 2 meters. I do a lot of DMR. I stay on DMR mostly. But I keep this one on all the time. But like I was telling Tom, I keep the volume turned down. Over.
It's always good to have a little backup. I just got into ham radio not very long ago. I think it's probably a year and a half ago. Absolutely. I got started at CB back in 57. So I was 12 years old, and my dad had one in a mobile, and then he brought one home and put it in the house, and I thought it was a trick. I think it was a 1 or 2 face White Johnson, and we had a battery hooked up sitting outside the window, and we'd have to charge it up every now and then, and we had a rinky-dink antenna stuck up in the air, and I still got that antenna today that I had back in 57, and I still use it on 10 meters. But that's what got me started. I'm 75 years old now, and I've enjoyed talking on radio. I love to play radio.
I have to say, CB is what got me into ham radio. And, you know, back in the early 70s, 71 to 74, it was real big around here. And then I got out of it, you know, and around 70, 78, 79, I heard about ham radio and started digging into that. So in 85, I went for it, and I'm just a general, but I can do more than I even do. So, you know, that's good for me. But I have to say, CB radio is what got me into it, but I hadn't forgot where I come from. But I don't care for it anymore, over.
I know what you're saying, absolutely. Well, we still got a group of CBers around here, and there's a pretty nice group. I try to get, I've got 1 or 2 of them in ham, but the rest of them, they want to stay where they're at, you know. They're just satisfied talking in the afternoon and talking to each other. They've been doing it for 10, 15 years, and they don't want to move. They complain if I move, I'm going to have to buy another radio. And, man, I just don't want to buy another radio. I got 15 over here on the shelf. I don't want to buy another one, though.
Radio 4, and I just sold one. I sold a Yaesu 857D, and I got a Yaesu 2000, a Kenwood 590. I've got the Icom 7300. I got a Yaesu 757. I got a Kenwood 430. So, but you can only use one at a time. but they all hooked up, over.
What you talking about?
Absolutely. I got Kenwood, Icon, Yazoo, I got Midlands, all that's just in the handfield, and then I still got a bunch of CBs, Cobras, and I ain't even got a Lafayette helicopter sitting around here. I even got one of them with two or three channels back in the day. But I just enjoy radio, no doubt about it. And I got a couple of towers. I got three towers in the yard, 100 and 80 and 50. And they're loaded with, I think I got 10 or 12 coaxes coming into the house. Yeah, I'm like you. I am overstocked in radios right now.
Glenn, I was telling Tom I sold my amplifier and I didn't use it much even when I had it. So it just sitting here collecting dust, and so I let it go, and I do about all I want to do. I do fly some drones. I got a couple of drones, a DJI Mavic Air 2. I love flying that thing. I got an Altel Evo, so that's been an experience. And I bought these things about time this, some people call it the China virus, but about the time it hit. And they've come in pretty handy and give me a little something to do. I go out, or me and the girlfriend go out and find the area and fly, just us and not around anybody. So it's come in pretty handy, over.
Absolutely great. I got started in flying airplanes with a string, going around and around, getting dizzy. Fox 049 engines, then I got up to Fox 15, and then got to the big stuff, and then I got into RC helicopters, and I've had some helicopters 6 feet long and great big old blades, and I enjoyed all that. I still got a little helicopter I fly every now and then out here in the yard, but let me ask you, how you like that 7300 you got?
I bought it, and so I hooked it up with SDR radio. So I went to HRO over in Atlanta and got the deal to go with that. Then I was running SDR Uno and SDR Console. And here in the last few weeks, I don't know, it seemed like when I transmit, it would knock me offline. So I don't know what's happened with that, so I just kind of quit fooling with that part of it. Right now I'm doing FT8 and FT4, and transmit don't do a thing. I mean, I don't understand it, but with the those two programs, whenever I transmit, as far as voice-wise, it knocks me offline. So I don't understand what's going on with that, and I said I'm gonna lay that to the side for a while. But first, radio, yes, great radio. Of course, everybody and his brother has got the 7300. I mean, they made a good one on that leg, And but yeah, it for under $1,000, it's great, okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, I got two or three buddies that I've got them, and they're enjoying those. I got a Yazoo MT950, and I got the Panasonic, and all that goes with that, and FT8, FT4, I enjoy that. That's not as good to me as voice contact, sitting there mashing a button and then waiting your 15 seconds and their 15 seconds, and then they give you a Roger beeper and a 73, and that's it. And I think, my goodness, I didn't even get to talk to the guy. I don't know what it sounds like.
True, too, but Back when I first got into ham radio, I stayed on 80 meters, and man, we had a ball back then, and all those guys that I had met, most of them have passed away now, and I don't know anybody else on ham radio to sit and just talk to, as far as 40 meters or 80 meters, and I just don't know anybody, and it's just hard for me to get on to strike up conversation. But every once in a while, I'll holler out. So I did get my worked all states, and I did get my DXCC, and that was two goals that I was after, and I did them. So I don't do as much as trying to do the DX part anymore as far as voice. But, and Lord, I don't know how many digital modes that I've worked all states on. I'd have to count them over.
My pad, head on the floor. N4OVQ with KN4UBV ID purposes. I understand all that, I'm telling you. Yeah, I've never been one to chase paper, but even though I got a room full of all kinds of certificates from 11 meter band, and I guess I got, you know, 11 meters. I didn't think years back that they would give certificates for achieving this and that, but there's so many 11 meter clubs out there, and I guess I went through most of them at one time or another. Until I got on a ham and really have it, really, I just love to talk. If I think I got two awards on my QRZ page. I'm sure you're on QRZ as well, right?
I am. I sure am. I got your call wrote down. I'll look you up on there. But you know, back in the day, I had a Cobra 142 GTL CB. Base station, and that thing was tricked out. It'd go up over 40. So I talked to a guy one day, and I asked him where he was, and he was in South America. So that's actually what got me started. When I found out you could do that, then I found out about ham radio. So, but I ended up meeting this guy, and he was from Plains, Georgia. His property joined with Jimmy Carter's down there. And he also raised peanuts. So he sold out down there and he moved to South America and he had a big place. He had 7,000 hectares, I think they called it, over there. But I ended up getting to meet him back down in America's Georgia. And but he knew a lot about ham radio, even though he didn't have his ticket. But he taught me a lot, and his name was Julius Popwell. Anyway, never will forget. But that's what got me started on that CB radio, over.
Absolutely. Yeah, back in the 70s and the 80s, when free band wasn't really free band back then, you know, they still enforced a little bit of it. I got hooked on that, talking free band around the world. And I probably worked 150 countries, and I'd collect money and postcards and stamps. And I got album books full of postcards, stamps, and money from different parts of the world. And all of it was done on free band. You know where free band is. It's where you're not supposed to be. And now that I'm a ham operator, I can't go up on free band. You know, I don't lose everything I got. And I got rid of some of my big amplifiers. I used to run 4,000 watts over here on 11 meters and had a bunch of them. And all that just creates neighbor problems sometimes.
Exactly. And 4OVQ for ID. Well, all right, my friend. I'm going to get out of here and stir around a little bit. And I've enjoyed it. I'm glad you came in there. And I got you wrote down, but I'll look you up on QRZ. But you have a great day. Stay safe. And maybe we'll hook up again. Enjoyed it. K 10-4 UBB and 4 OVQ. I'll be clear after you wow.
Glad to meet you. And I was just running through. I was wondering if Simplex was running today. And I heard you and your friend there talking. I thought, well, let me see if I can get back to them. I have no idea where y'all at, no idea what's going on. This is like the blind leading the blind over here in my shack, I'm telling you. But it was nice. 73s to you, and you and your girlfriend get out and ride around. Y'all might want to ride over to Comber someday, you know? And my wife gets her second COVID shot today, and I ain't had my first one yet. She's going to be better prepared. I'll get it out. Prepared better than I am. And of course, she had open heart surgery last year, and I think she was she's a diabetic, and she got on the list a little bit before I did, and she's 75 also, been bad 55 years, so maybe she won't have to train another. But anyway, it was really good meeting you, my friend. 73s to you. Stay warm, stay safe, and stay inside. It's raining over here. At KN4, UBV clear.
Buddy, by the way, 4 years ago, April the 16th, 4 years ago, I had a quadruple bypass. So, and I am a diabetic. So, but you know, I hadn't checked into that. Maybe I should. If it kind of get me ahead, I might want to look into that. But so far, I'm doing good with it. That was a big change in my life, real big. It changed a lot of stuff, a lot of my way of thinking, my way of looking at people, and just all kinds of stuff. Big change, and I'm sure it did hurt too. But okay, thanks a lot. I'll talk to you later. In 4OBQ.
Pretty heart attack, so I've laid in the bed wondering why I'm still here many days. And while she had an open heart surgery, I had a knee replacement. Not a knee replacement, a hip replacement. So she was in her bed in one bedroom, and I was in my bed in the other bedroom. Well, we had fun for a couple of months there. I enjoyed it. Have a great day. KN4, UBB clear.
November Delta Kilo, radio check.
Go ahead. I got plenty of radio checks over here. KN4, UBV. I'll send you a little one or a big one. Come on back.
Make me a check and just send it in the mail.
I can. But when it gets there, you're going to have to grab it because it'll probably bounce. It'll probably bounce all the way back to my house.
Yeah, this is W4NDK, Nate, Charlotte, North Carolina. And I'm out walking my dog. I wanted to see if I was getting in here. I'm crossband repeating back to my home QTH where I have a crossband repeat set up on the 400. Over.
This is neat. That's awesome. I've been wanting to do something like that, but I just hadn't done it. And several people I know have that capability. And I just think that's awesome. You know, there's so many ways you can get out and you can talk to people, even though you're not sitting in the big chair in the shack. And you're doing great. Sounds great down this way. Bring your call letters back one more time, please, so I can log it in.
My call is W4NDK, Whiskey 4, November Delta Kilo. And my name is Nate, November Alpha Tango Echo. Over.
Okay, Nate, good deal. And you out walking your dog. What kind of dog are you walking?
It's in your call sign, just so I can try to remember it. And I'm walking a Carolina dog. Over.
KN4UBV. KN4UBV. The name is Jim, Juliet India Mike, and I'm located 23 miles east of Athens, Georgia, about 90 miles east of Atlanta, Georgia.
So you're getting in there up to Caesar's Head Repeater, over.
Absolutely. Like I say, I can talk on the radio all day. I'll even miss supper. Sometime I pull an all-nighter, you know. I'm just one of those guys that Love to play the radio, and I've enjoyed it for quite some time.
And I'm walking a Carolina dog. Have you heard of a Carolina dog before? I'm sure you might have, being from that area. Or...
Exactly. I don't even know what kind of breed a Carolina dog would be. I've raised English bulldogs for quite some time, and I've raised black and tans and walkers and blue ticks, and so been myself still coon hunt quite a bit. And squirrel hunts quite a bit, so we have plenty of dogs down here.
This is a, you can Google it. The Carolina dog is a, it's recognized breed from one of the kennel clubs and not from one of the others. But they came over from Asia thousands of years ago, probably on the Bering Strait. And, there's a lot of them down there, the Savannah Nature Preserve, down near Augusta, Georgia. Over.
Good deal. Do they get to be a big dog or a medium-sized dog?
Live in the wild. Although they make great pets, they're real loyal. They're real protective of their owners. They're kind of secretive and quiet. Over.
They ought to be called a stinky dog. Yeah, I like those kind that don't make a lot of fuss, but they're ready when you need them. Absolutely. That'd be a good little dog right there to keep handy, because he definitely could hear stuff that we can't hear. That's what I like about dogs. Don't have one in the house right now. Man, you just watch the dog, and they know what's going on outside. They can't even see outside.
Fortunately, she's got some a little bit of clot hound in her, so she does bark. She barks quite a bit, but she sticks right near my side all the time, and she's easy to walk. So yeah, that's fun. But so you're down there near Athens, Georgia. Are you in Georgia or you're in South Carolina?
No doubt about it. From Athens going towards South Carolina on 72 Highway, I'm right between Athens and Elberton, you might say. So it's a small town. We don't have very many people here. And like I said before, we have one red light and five cops, and we don't need any of them.
That kind of sounds like Hopsville Beach, North Carolina, where I've grown up. Yeah, my wife's from a one-stoplight town in Virginia, so we like going up there. But there hasn't been much travel lately. What's the weather like down there in your neck of the woods? I heard somebody say, I don't think you, it was raining. Over.
Last night it started about 4 o'clock, then rained till this morning. We still got water dripping off the house. The sun is in and out. It was just in. Last 10 minutes now, I found a hole and it popped back out through, so it's going to be cloudy off and on today. It was about 70-something degrees here yesterday. I'm not sure what the temperature is right now, but I'm sure it's kind of warm outside. Night before last, we had a pretty good shower, and a lot of lightning and thunder came through, and a pretty good amount of rain also. But maybe I think it's going to clear up a little bit this afternoon. Hope so anyway. At least I can get out and go get the mail without getting wet. That's a good thing.
We've got 57 degrees and sunny right now in Charlotte. Very nice. But looks like it's going to come back in around 6 p.m. and start raining again and rain throughout the night. And then tomorrow is going to be cold here, 36, 37 and sunny. Over.
Now that's kind of like sick weather. You go out that kind of weather, you get hot and sweaty, and then all of a sudden the next day you wake up, you got a bad cold, sore throat, don't feel good. You know, and that's the way it is down this way. Yep. How close to the Charlotte Motor Speedway are you?
Close to it. I used to live in a little unincorporated town called Dillwall, North Carolina, near UNC Charlotte. But I am good. Probably 35-40 minute drive southwest of the speedway. We went up there for the Christmas lights this year. which is really nice. You do a good job with that. A lot of traffic does get in there. A lot of waiting time. I'm very familiar with that part of the town. Over.
I've been there several times, and I enjoy that part of the country. I love NASCAR, and my wife, she's from North Carolina, from east of Wilson, North Carolina. It's called Saratoga, North Carolina. And we met here in Georgia. She was going to Emmanuel College. It's a small Christian town college. And we met there in 63 and got married in 65. So headed towards North Carolina and Virginia about two or three times a year. We haven't made the trip lately, but I think she's looking forward to kind of getting out when all this COVID mess straightens up to get out. We haven't been anywhere, to tell you the truth. We used to go to Cracker Barrel all the time. Man, I haven't been to Cracker Barrel in a year, over a year. I'm getting restless. I'm getting the Cracker Barrel jitters.